92.3 The Fan. Stand by. We're going to go to the hotline here in a minute. We're going to talk to Richard Deitch from The Athletic, media critic, and understands everything that's going on in the world of television and sports. And so really enjoy our conversation with Richard, and we'll get him on the line here in a second. So,
can I say that I'm very jealous of Jeff Thomas going to see Oasis in Toronto?
Well, we were just talking about that because I think Richard lives in Toronto. I thought he had moved to Toronto.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, but he was right that it's at Rogers Stadium. By the way, we're going to get back to the Browns. I know there's a ton of folks that want to talk about that. We'll get back to that, Shador, and what Dickerson had to say too. But that'd be a fun show, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you saw the reviews and some of the highlights of what they did over in England and in Ireland, unbelievable show. They're on top of their game. I was lucky. I saw them twice.
Have they been through here?
No, they're not playing here. You mean?
No, I mean, did they ever come through here?
The last time I saw them was in Akron in 2000 at EJ Thomas Hall.
Wow.
About 3,000 people. It was great. Yeah.
Wow. You're big into that stuff, though. Love it, right?
By the way, a little music TV hype here, or a little recommendation. The Devo documentary on Netflix is very good, with a lot of Kent State love. So it's got a little bit of a local tie-in. The boys from Akron who went to Kent State and were way ahead of their time.
It's Mike Mother's Ball, right? Isn't that the...
Mark Mother's Ball.
Mother's Ball. Sorry about that. But I can't tell you how many times I watch a movie and his name pops up at the end of the movie.
Incredible.
Time and time.
How many?
Do they dive into that at all?
A little bit, yeah.
All the movie stuff that he's been doing. So, all right, I'm going to switch gears here just for a little bit. Again, we're going to get back into the Browns and what's going on with the quarterback situation. But we love having this guy on from time to time. I mean, you want to talk about who knows what's going on with media and sports media. It's Richard Deitch from The Athletic, and he is on The Fan Hotline. Richard, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm probably not the guy to talk to you about the Browns quarterback situation, but good to be with you guys.
Sorry, all you have to do is like...
Everybody has an opinion on the Browns quarterback situation.
Here's what I want you to do. Richard, I want you to drink a six-pack as fast as you can, grab the plunger from your bathroom, put your head on top of there, and just run around in circles, and then you will be qualified to talk about the Browns quarterback situation. Congratulations.
If I had to go on a limb, I actually think Otto Graham's going to win the job.
Well done. Well done. Jeff is off today. Tom Withers is in. Richard, first of all, we were just talking about this for a second. You're living in Toronto still, yes? No? Where are you living?
Correct. Okay. I am. North of the border.
So, Jiro, we were talking about before. Are you going to Oasis or no?
No, I'm not going to Oasis. While I do love Canada and the people here have been incredible, I try to avoid any connections to royalty still. So there'll be no Oasis.
Because we were laughing about Jeff Thomas, who was our update guy, said it's at Rogers Stadium. Is everything named Rogers up there or what? I'm so confused.
Yeah, Rogers Center, but spelled, you know, as the in the Canadian English, CNTRE. Rogers is a massive, massive telecom. So, like, kind of imagine, let's say, if AT&T and Bell, like, kind of were the only two telecoms in the United States. That's kind of like how it plays in Canada. Rogers is a massive, massive player in the telecom market, and they own the Maple Leafs, the Raptors, the Blue Jays, the Toronto MLS franchise. And so consolidation-wise, they're far and away the biggest sports player in the country, and that's why you have a lot of Rogers.
There you go.
Rogers Arena, et cetera.
You get all of it. Okay, speaking of consolidation – can you help me with what's going on with MLB and ESPN and especially here in Cleveland, because we're one of those five markets that MLB runs the TV situation here. So can you lay out what's going on with ESPN and MLB TV?
Well, this is, you know, Andrew Marchand's story from my place. So credit to him for breaking that. And he's certainly been more all over it than I have. But ultimately, you know, MLB's long-term plan is to try to bring as many teams under one umbrella, however that works out. And ESPN, as you've seen with the direct-to-consumer product that they just launched, their hope is that they become essentially the biggest hub in the United States for sports. So even if you're, let's say, viewing something that's not a quote-unquote ESPN property, ESPN still wants you to sort of go in through their door. And that's why they're trying to, you know, that's why they accepted investment from the NFL, and now they have the NFL Network. So in terms of this deal, like if it comes to fruition, you know, the hope would be that you as a baseball fan would have access to purchase three ESPN slash, you know, what was MLB TV, out of market games. I don't know the pricing on that yet. I'm not even sure ESPN or MLB have come out with that or gone down that road. Mm-hmm. And then, and this is the stuff probably Marshan knows more than me. They would own those five. They would own the rights in terms of selling on those five teams. And I think, right, the Guardians are one of those
right
teams. So if I understand it, I think you would have to purchase games eventually through whatever the ESPN sort of apparatus of games exists. So I don't know the pricing on that, but in that case, just think of ESPN in the same way you might have thought of like an RSN in the past. And so you'll just have to purchase it through them. But, you know, the question for Guardians fans and the question for all sports fans is, you know, one, how much will that cost? And then secondly, can you bundle it with something else? So let's say you're a Guardians fan. How much would it cost for you to get access to whatever Guardians games would exist on this distribution site, as well as, let's say, getting all of the ESPN programming from all their different networks to whatever they're offering there. And I would think at a certain point, if it does come to fruition, MLB and ESPN will market that enough where everybody in these markets will know how much that costs and how you can do it.
Makes sense.
Richard, this ESPN empire just continues to grow, and they've got quite the monopoly, it seems like, on baseball and football and what have you. Is this healthy? Is this good? Do we need competition? What does this all mean?
Well, I mean, I think, like, you know, if you talk to Amazon Prime or Netflix or Fox, they would say there is, or CBS, you know, which is now Paramount's guidance, they would say there is competition. And so, you know, depending on what your preferred sport is, while ESPN is certainly the majority player, you know, they don't own everything. If you're, let's say, you're a huge soccer fan, realistically, you probably have to have
Peacock, NBC, yeah.
Premier League. Right, or you go to Paramount Plus if you're like a hardcore, let's say, global soccer fan, you want to watch like Champions League and stuff like that. Obviously, you're aware of what Fox has in terms of their Big Ten connection as well as the NFL. But you're correct. Like, they have established themselves as the dominant sports rights holder in the United States. They have the best set of assets. Is it like consumer friendly and healthy? I mean, the short answer, no, because like you're ultimately going to pay more for all of this stuff if you're a diehard sports fan than you would have with the cable bundle. But all these places have correctly decided that fans will pay sort of whatever it takes to watch live sports, and particularly men under the age, let's say, of 35 have a lot of discretionary income, and they're pretty much willing to pay whatever it takes when it comes to having, you know, whatever streaming package they need. They certainly will do whatever it takes to bet on games, right? And all this is tied because as part of the new ESPN DTC, mm-hmm. you're essentially going to be guided to their betting app. So, no, it's not good at all for consumers, I think, in terms of the big picture. But it's like almost everything else in any country, particularly America. If consumers don't push back, you're essentially telling the companies that they can do this. And so ESPN made a decision, and I think a very smart strategic decision, like, we're going to lock all this stuff up for as long as we can. And then, very, very importantly, we're actually going to get into even a deeper bet with the NFL to protect ourselves from having perhaps the best relationship with the product that is, I would say, the most important product in terms of content for people in the United States.
Mm. A couple of things came to mind when we were talking about these stories. Like, first up, ESPN to me, and I don't know how old you are, but you're probably more close in the same ballpark. But I always remember, and Tom, I'm sure you're in this. Mm-hmm. Like, when we were kids, MTV was, you know, was music videos, and then all of a sudden it right. wasn't. And like, I feel like ESPN just is pushing all their chips in towards live programming, which makes sense because that's what people want. And they've really backed off on their shoulder programming, or just said, okay, let's stick two microphones in front of a guy's face and let him talk. Instead of like, so I can't remember last time I sat down and watched an entire Sports Center, or as you have to watch it with the RE reverse there in Toronto. But you know, I'd like ESPN has totally backed off the shoulder programming. Yes or no? Am I crazy?
So your thesis is ESPN's killed the video star.
Yeah, they have. It's exactly right. Yes.
Right. I want to. Yeah. I feel both impressed by my pop culture knowledge of 1980s and then sad based on when I look at my birth certificate.
The Buggles.
So, Yeah, I mean, here's what ESPN has done, and this is the bet that Jimmy Pitaro and his, like, you know, his group of management people have made. They've decided to go all in on some significant front-facing people. It don't take a genius. Everybody listening to you guys knows who that is.
Right.
Pat McAfee, Stephen A. Smith, Mike Greenberg, Scott Van Pelt. On the game side, Troy Aikman, Joe Buck. On the basketball side, let's say Mike Breen. College football side, Kirk Herbstreit. So again, they made a decision that they're going to pay those people a significant amount of money, you know, a really significant amount of money. They're going to build their shoulder programming around those people. And then everybody else is sort of the middle or lower class. Now, again, when I say middle or lower class, we're talking first world problems. These people are still making great money compared to most Americans. But yes, that the days of like there being like 10 Sports Center stars where like, you know, man, I got to catch Craig Kilborn. I got to catch Tirico and Stuart Scott doing Sports Center. It's over. Like those are done. The bet that ESPN would tell you now, and you know, I'm quickly becoming out of the demo, is that like those equivalents are now going to be our digital stars. Like, here's a person we're going to put on TikTok. They're going to be our 21st century star, the way Stuart Scott was. And this person has a million TikTok subscribers, and that's going to be who you're watching. So it's not going to be about the linear programming, which is Sports Center. Yeah, I agree. I mean, to me, something's been lost, and
the educational part of it. Let's be honest. Tom spent all his time with the AP, and we talk about it. It's someone just spewing opinion rather than actually getting facts and getting smarter by watching some of these shows. I don't know. Maybe that just doesn't interest people anymore.
No. Yeah. Well, I think first of all, Tom's. I know Tom's AP byline for a long time. He's a fantastic journalist. The reality is ESPN made a decision in some ways to go more, I don't want to say lowest common denominator because that's a little unfair to them, but opinionism, right, bloviating, it's very cheap to do, it's very easy to do, and you can get a lot out of it without really having to invest much in it. It's much harder to do sort of the long-form, thoughtful stuff, and quite frankly, sort of a sad commentary on where we are now, journalism doesn't sell. It doesn't pay the bills.
It's true.
It's much easier to create like a first take like program. You'll get more people to watch, and it's a lot cheaper. So it's like 100 times more easier for me to say Patrick Mahomes sucks. He's overrated. He doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. Like you'd call me a moron for that, right? It makes no sense at all. But the point is, I can get you a ton of engagement just from that idiotic comment. It's a lot harder for me to go travel to do some like feature on Chiefs linemen from 1990s who are really like suffering given like, you know, the violence that they were part of in football. Mm. So they made a very like more calculated decision that, you know, they'll do the nuts and bolts. They'll do the transactional stuff. The Sports Center is just going to be in some ways just not even as much highlight driven, but sort of more commentary driven.
Yep.
And I think for them, it's probably going to work out. But again, I'm not trying to sort of be holier than thou and saying I'm like, 10,000 foot above this. Cause trust me, I ask my wife or my kids, I come up with stupid opinions all the time, but like, it's literally the easiest thing to do in sports. And you guys not know that from sports radio.
Yes.
You just basically go out and say, like, put it this way, this will make no sense. Right. But if I just say like, the New England Patriots are the wokest team in football. Like, what does that even mean? It means absolutely nothing. But I guarantee I get you 20 people calling your radio station after I said something idiotic like that. It's just very easy to do. And that's, you know, ESPN, Fox, FS1, all of these places have gone down that road because it's just been proven. It's very, very cheap and easy programming to do, and you can sell against it.
It's true. Richard, thank you. Have some poutine on me. You just sent me the bill.
I will do that.